Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutton.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your
fuck your boyfriend.
Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
What up, fuckers? How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fuck.
It's the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
Welcome to the show. Make sure to be following us on social media, guys. I know there's a lot of people who have been out of the loop for a while. That's the best way to stay in the loop with live shows, with content that we're making. I'm at Philanthropy Gal on all social media.
I'm at Christina Hutch.
And Guys We Fucked is on all social media platforms, including TikTok. We're very big on TikTok
now. Several times.
Yeah.
Corinne is the techie of the group in this aspect. And boy, she doing a good job. You got to go watch it.
I love TikTok. It's at Guys We Fucked without the U and fucked. But most importantly, if you have not done it yet, what we need you to do, what we want you to do, what you should organically want to do, if we're being honest, is watch our full length comedy special on YouTube. It's called Our Special Day. It's starring us. It's written by us. I directed it. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the best looking comedy special that you're going to get for free. 100%. Feel no doubt in my mind about saying that.
Yep.
And you can get it by going to youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U and fucked. If you've already watched it, make sure to like it, subscribe to our channel, leave a comment. There's a lot more views than comments, and the comments help keep it like alive in the algorithm.
Yeah.
So all these things, I know some people subscribe to Luminary and we appreciate that, but if you don't have the money, these free things that we ask you to do, it's not just us like wanting to be popular. It really helps our content get out into the universe.
Yeah.
And we put so much time and money into that we really, really appreciate it.
Yes, please. Our Special Day on YouTube now. And on Luminary subscribers, you get 2 extra bonus episodes of Guys We Fucked a month, and we're opening our inbox, and I'm saving all my personal shit for that, and boy do I have some. So make sure if you want to subscribe to Luminary, that's where you're going to get that information.
You also get episodes a week earlier than everybody else.
Yeah, because you're more special.
Yay. Thank you so much. If you want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. make that subject line really specific. This one says, caught a man jacking off in the women's restroom.
That's specific.
Hello, Corinne and Christina. First off, y'all.
That was so hot. Oh. Sorry, I just burned my mouth. This is a bad day. Go ahead, sorry.
First off, y'all, Christina, every day is a bad day when you're an adult.
I'm starting to realize.
We've been trying to tell you this for fucking weeks.
Every time I fucking come in here, I'm like, guys, life sucks. And they're like, yeah, we've known that for the whole time. And I'm like,
yeah.
I think it really is bad, actually, and sad.
Yeah. Well, and right now it's extra bad because everyone else is like
going fucking haywire.
Bad energy from the quarantine is, because everyone couldn't handle spending a couple months by themselves.
Jesus, when me and Corinne were doing the coffee last week, Kurt was like, what did we talk about again? I was like, oh, that was when we remind Christina that life is brutal.
Wow. The emperor has no clothes, man.
But honestly, it's like, okay, well, you had less time with it being brutal. So, I mean, like, I know it's the shock of it being new to you, but it's like, all right, well, you had a lot of years where you didn't know. So that was nice.
I mean, I guess my personal life was always so brutal, but I thought that the rest of the world, once I overcame that, it was going to be a little nice. Nope.
No.
Yeah, it's all right.
No, absolutely.
Builds character, huh? Makes you funnier.
Hello, Corinne and Christina. First off, y'all are badasses and thank you for all you do. Okay, well, here it goes. It's just like it sounds. I caught a man jacking off in the women's...
Jocking off. Uncut joms.
Oh, gosh.
I fucking... Anyway.
I caught a man jacking off in the women's restroom last night. I am a 23-year-old female restaurant manager in San Antonio, Texas. I work at a higher-end restaurant in a nice end of town located at a nice mall. That's kind of an oxymoron. I did work at a nice mall growing up. I will say Short Hills Mall,
shout out.
But Short Hills Mall is
the only nice mall I've been to in my entire
KLP, life. KLP, King of Prussia, is pretty nice, but it wasn't always that way.
And I have worked here for almost 7 years. Started as a hostess, became a server, bartender, then management.
Moving on up.
I was going about regular business last night, checking on the bar, talking to guests, responding to reviews, when I was alerted by one of my staff that there was an issue going on in the bathroom. My immediate response is always, what's happening?
Crazy. What could it be?
I like that she's like,
and I hit them back with, what is it?
She's like, in my restaurant, I'm always known for saying, what's going on? What's happening? Like, what? Okay. Sorry, I had to make fun of you for a second. My bartender responded he didn't know what was happening, but he needed me immediately. I arrived to find a woman videotaping the bathroom door from the outside of the bathroom. I let her know I am the manager on duty, and I ask her what's wrong. She shushes me, then proceeds to...
Not now, I'm going viral.
Wind back her video to while she was in the restroom to show me a video of the shadow of a man clearly jacking off in the stall next to her. Then red shoes or sneakers suddenly appear on the floor as if he was standing on the toilet beforehand. I told my bartender to call 911. He refuses.
What?
Understandably, given the current state of things, I guess it was a black guy.
Okay.
I have, which Damn I it. Agree with. Him grab my phone. It wasn't on my person at the time, so I can call. God, okay, this email, we need to read over these emails before we start this. Then I have him get some of the kitchen guys and a larger server for backup. I post up at the women's restroom door, preventing any more women from going in and getting ready to confront the man. There was a second woman who witnessed this man from her stall as well. She went in after the woman who took the video. I asked her what she saw, and she said the same thing as the first woman. At this point, the man comes out of the first stall, feigns surprise about being in the women's restroom. And also, you know, these days,
he didn't nut yet.
Restroom is a restroom, you know?
Yeah.
Then when I asked him what he was doing in there, he said he was taking a shit.
Okay.
At this point, I am asking him to wait here, physically put my arm out to try and prevent him from leaving while the other women chime in and say, no, we saw what you were doing. What's wrong with you? That's not okay, etc. Everyone's a vigilante these days.
Okay.
When he started walking forward, I put my arm down to avoid aggravating him. I mean, if there was a guy who had his hands all over his dick, I would just be like,
last thing I'm
going to
just
do. Yeah, go.
Just leave the mall.
Just
go somewhere else in the mall.
Yeah.
Or leave.
Then he gets to my team members from the kitchen and gets too close to them. So we all back off and avoid touching him because we don't want to make the situation violent to protect them and the other guests around. There was quite a bit at this point. He proceeds to walk out of the restaurant and go deeper into the mall where there are several other restaurants located. I speak with the women, ask them to hang out until the police arrive, if they're okay with that. Well, they hung out and we waited for the police. I went to all the other restaurants in the vicinity with a male server to warn them and ask if they saw anything. No one saw anything but one place, and they kicked him out after he fell asleep in one of their booths. Yet they don't know where he went after that. The police.
Oh, this is just a day in New York City.
Yeah, this is like a guy on drugs.
Yeah.
The police showed up way later and were basically useless. Yeah,
that's
what they do. They wrote nothing down about the case. Unsurprising, the women that waited to speak to the police were understandably pissed. Not to like say this is okay, but like nothing even happened to anyone,
right?
So like when things actually happen to people, the police barely do anything,
right?
You know, and not to say that someone jerking off in the stall next to you could be traumatic, but
you live in New York City, that happens the first like week
it
here.
Really does harden you. It happens
on the subway in front of your face, right. I'm kind of used to it at this point, but
it's not great. But we figured out that the man had probably been in the women's restroom for about an hour, plus it was hard because he wasn't a guest of the restaurant. He didn't leave his name or phone number. Yeah, I mean,
right.
What a surprise.
Nor would he.
Nor did we have a credit card in the system for him.
Because he probably didn't have one.
Yeah, I don't.
I think he's homeless and that's his house for
I don't think the guy jacking off in the bathroom has a good credit line, guys. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I've dated people who literally don't have credit cards. All we had was video and a description. This man also just happened to be black, and it was a nerve-wracking speaking to the police because I didn't want anyone innocent to be profiled if they did actually try to do something. Yeah, it's kind of why, what was the point in the first place.
Right.
So there really is really nothing to be done on their end, I suppose, but still the officer could have at least pretended to care.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not even doing
I
a good job
really
pretending
care that much.
To
care.
Yeah, yeah.
I am writing all of this following morning in the corner. We call an office at work to really ask what more could I have done?
Nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
That's easy.
These poor women were sexually harassed.
This is where it gets weird and murky. And I mean, I don't
Like they kind of they were he on the spectrum of sexual harassment, and this is bad because I know like women shouldn't have to go through any of this.
No, but like, also we shouldn't have a homeless crisis, and also there should be not a big gap between the people making money. Like
well,
the
we don't
class.
Necessarily know he was homeless.
No, I just yeah, I
there
just think
are
of New
people
York.
Who do shit like this all you know all the time, and they do get the, like
the
to
rocks
me, it,
off,
like it just
literally.
Doesn't like
yeah, a guy jerking off is.
You just walk in and you walk out. Like, yeah. You know, and
I'd giggle, but that's not to say it's yeah. Okay, it's okay if you were pissed. I
feel like we're heightening this a little bit more than it needs to be heightened.
Yeah. Is it really, I wouldn't call the cops for this one, but.
Is the New York thing really a factor here that we're just kind of like this
jaded?
This is so normal.
It's part of I'm jaded.
But it's also like being a woman in general. And I know that's not okay. Like, you know, when someone touches your butt in the subway, you're like, whatever. But also like, it's just, I don't really like to comparison like and have a struggle off with people. But like when you think of things that people who have written into this show have gone through, this is just like not something I'll even remember in a week. Mm-hmm. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And like, it's like the person wasn't touch you. Like you weren't even like, there was a literal like divider against you I mean between you like again and sometimes people get pissed when we downplay situations like this but everything can't be a crisis
right I mean if something that what I would have done is just alerted the management and had a, like if you had a picture of his face or screen cap
right.
from the video so that he can't enter the restaurant
yeah
you
mean,
know why he's gonna go in
the
there.
Way you handle this is you go in the bathroom and you go yo jerk off get the fuck
yeah.
out of my restaurant
stop
Bye.
Liking it go
you
know, in your bed and do that
the way
go
I imagine
car.
This being handled was like oh my god everyone to the side to the
is
side
key.
We have a predator
I know
we have a predator
but they
could have we have to get him
we
out
have a man
here.
Jacking off
I will play devil's advocate just in case if any of these women involved had been raped or sexually harassed
yeah,
or assaulted like if it was a trigger I don't know it could be and if that is the case I do understand however the gravity of this situation I think is just worth being alert so he can't come in your restaurant
well I mean I think it, and if you were raped you'd be like oh, this is nothing this is
maybe
a walk in the park
yeah Oh, he was just jerking off in a stall. He wasn't even in your stall?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I mean, that is...
We really do get a lot of emails about rape, and so... And it's, like, a topic we talk about all the time. So, I really... Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
That's, like, the sadness of being a woman.
I know.
And I think this, like, our... Like kind of indifference to this email really does like encapsulate what it's like to be a woman. And that's something I've read about a lot, you know, and how, you know, we downplay like microaggressions and small sexual assaults because or sexual harassments because we are so used to it. And that's not good.
Right.
But also like you're never going to. Everyone has things. Every type of person, race of person, gender, sex, whatever. Everyone has something that like they go through that sucks. And this is like women's things and it's not okay, but like there's just too many people going through too many things in the world.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I can just imagine the cops coming in with like a fucking gun up. Like this person doesn't deserve to have a gun held on
him.
That's for sure.
Right.
All right. So I know I should have probably also called mall security ASAP in hindsight. Oh yeah, I forgot you're in a mall. Of course, mall security.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see them try and handle this.
They would have gotten on their little two wheelers where they stand up and they scoot around.
Segways.
They would the segways, the fucking segways.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, hey, jerk offer.
Yeah.
Stop
Where is this again? Just remind me.
A mall. In San Antonio or something?
Yeah, okay, San Antonio, Texas. Oh God. Yeah. So there's way worse things happening there.
Yeah.
But I'm trying
like
to
no
think
abortion clinics.
Of what else I could do better or how to prevent this from happening.
You can't
again.
Prevent it. A guy is always gonna come in and jerk off. In your mall restaurant bathroom. It's just.
Oh, wait. Then she goes on to say, I failed big time. What? No, you didn't. I failed big time. Now my staff members feel unsafe using the restroom.
That's why I'm wondering if one of them was triggered because they were sexually assaulted. I don't know.
I mean, I guess you would just have like, you would be like, oh, that's weird.
Right.
Just hire someone to watch the restroom.
Oh, also put cameras outside the restroom.
Well, it's a really nice restroom. Just have a restroom attendant. Why don't you have one anyway? It's, if it's as nice of a restaurant as you describe it as. Usually nice restaurants have restroom attendants.
Oh, I guess they do. Yeah.
Did they have guys like that at Short Hills?
I didn't work in a restaurant. I worked in Victoria's Secret. So
right, okay.
I worked in the shittiest place in the Short Hills Mall. Sorry, Chad. I feel unsafe using the restroom and those poor women also have to deal with this however they take it. I told my bosses and they mentioned being more careful next time because the man could have had a weapon. All right, now everyone.
Anybody could have a weapon.
Literally, right. Everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
If we choose to get fucking anxious about every goddamn thing that could happen, we're not going to be able to live our lives, guys.
Yeah, I think everyone is like reacting like in a way that maybe something I'm missing something here.
I am missing something as well. The only thing I could think of is somebody involved in this had a scarring situation happen. But that to me says that's a trigger that you should, you know, worth investigating in therapy because it shouldn't be you know, you don't want it to ruin your life or affect your life like that.
And I need to prioritize my staff's safety. And to be honest, okay, number one, also as a GM, you're not in fucking in charge of your staff's safety. That's like,
you shouldn't be.
That's like a way too much. You're asking way too much of yourself. And to be honest, at the moment, I didn't even consider that as a possibility. Yeah, again, I think people are like, also, I think it seems like you're getting yelled at from maybe people atop of you,
which is not
for
fair.
Things that you're not really responsible for.
Yeah,
I feel like a major dumb bitch and I want to do better.
You're not being a dumb bitch.
I think in fairness to her, like, I think she kind maybe is a little bit, but having said that, no, not being a dumb bitch. I mean,
I mean,
responsible for their safety, but not her and Hola, not in a way that's like, not that she has to be like Spider-Man and fucking like she called the cops. The cops came. The cops couldn't really do anything. Like, what else are you supposed to do?
She called the cops after he left, though.
So next time. So, okay, if you want to do better, then I would say alert mall security. Make sure mall security has a screenshot videos of this guy. I don't know if you got his face in it.
And they'll come and do nothing.
Right.
Right. But at least you tried.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. I think women are always kind of casually afraid of being raped, but it's like not something that ruins our day because it's just always just lying under the surface just because we know it happens so much. So I understand the wanting to keep everybody safe, but...
And also as people who like know a lot about sexual offenders at this point, the jerking off guy is not the rape guy. They're different guys. And I think that's like a weird thing to say, but like I pretty much would bet thousands of dollars that the jerk off guy is not gonna touch. That's
that
not his
I don't know.
That's not his thing. That's not what he does.
Yeah.
Clearly
he was going to another mall and he fell asleep in the other the other restaurant's bathroom. So maybe that's like his thing.
This guy's the voyeur, the listener. This is the jerk off privately. I'm not gonna actually do anything, guy. And like, does that make it better?
I just wish he would go jerk off in the men's bathroom. You know, make the men feel uncomfortable. See how that goes.
It's not great, but like, also, it's like, is this the first time any of these people have seen someone jerking?
Maybe. I didn't see it until I moved here. And it happened
so
right.
Wild.
He took his dick out right in front of me.
Yeah, I've seen it so many times at this
right
point.
In front of children were there. I mean, it was. And everyone just kind of was like, oh, that guy again.
Right. I mean, I think the thing about this email is respond to it however you respond to it. That's your own choice based on your own personal experiences. And if it really upsets you, it really upsets you. Wouldn't have upset us, but that's okay.
Right.
But what the writer is asking is like, how could I have dealt with this better? I think like your job as the GM is to, I don't know, I can't grasp. It seems like you might have escalated this situation more than it needed to be. And that would be if you want to say you're like asking like, what could I have done better? Like, as if you needed to do more. And I think you actually needed to do less, because as a leader, even when you're scared, you need to remain calm. And it seemed like you might have been agitated yourself.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to ask, because like you're trained to be the manager of a restaurant, not a police officer who's supposed to remain calm under duress. So that's the only thing I can say. I think like in leadership positions, when something bad happens, you got to be the one who's not freaking out, who knows how to handle it. Even if you don't know how to handle it, you got to pretend that you know how to handle it, because you need everyone else to remain calm. Like, you don't think the president is scared a lot of the time? The president, I'm sure, is scared a ton of time. That's why they go gray during their presidencies. But you have to pretend when you go on camera and talk to the United States that you're not fucking scared, because then we're going to get scared.
You
and
gotta
then
it's be brave.
Great hysteria.
Right. Right. Yep. Yep. I agree. That is exactly my answer as well. I think that's exactly what.
So that's this. And like calling all these other people, like, you know, unfortunately, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we talk about week after week after week, like, especially when it comes to sexual assault and harassment, like the police don't give a shit.
Nope.
And so we need to find ways around that.
Nope. Yep.
Oh,
Okay. On that note, hey, come see us live. I'm going to be in Baltimore, Maryland at Magoobie's Comedy Club headlining March 24th through the 26th. London, May 12th at the Leicester Square Theater. Tickets are on sale. Dublin, I'm going to be at you the next day. And the venue is, I forgot to type it, but you'll know soon. It'll be on my website, ChristinaHutchinson.com.
And then Fort Collins, Colorado, I'm up in you April 15th and 16th for four shows total at the Comedy Fort. That's going to be a fun one. A lot of people already bought tickets. So if you want tickets, don't wait till the last minute, because I got this one so far out that a lot of people already have bought tickets for that. It's on the Linktree link in my Instagram profile at Philanthropy Gal. And then every Saturday, Without a Country comes out on all platforms, including YouTube. It's a great time. You really should be watching the news in some capacity days. And I know it's like boring and it's Corinne, in the bad news.
It's exciting
and
right
everyone's
now.
Sad.
No, but Corinne's really good at making things catastrophic, like very funny.
Yeah.
But and like, that's what we need right now.
Yeah, but like you'll get the information you need so you won't be a dumb bitch walking around, but it'll also like you'll get some laughs too. And you know, you'll get all the news for the week and like.
Yeah, you know what? I've been listening to it and it's really good if you have Fox News parents. I don't talk to mine, but if you do talk to yours, I actually think it's a really good, because I like the way you guys come at both sides and you point out the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah, I mean,
it gave me a lot of tools. And not that I'm talking to them, but if I was, I'm like, oh, I would have some things to say, actually.
Yeah, and I think it's like fair. We read lots of articles from Fox and InfoWars and Breitbart, but also Washington Post and New York Times and, you know, Daily Beast. So, and then, I mean, and there's discrepancies in both, and to think like liberal news is always correct or is always giving you the right information is also insane. So I think it helps you understand, like, if you do have Fox News parents, where they're coming from and why they can be so easily hypnotized.
Yeah, brainwashed.
Yeah, by the news.
Yeah.
All right. And rate and review, guys, we fucked on Apple Podcasts. You've been doing such a great job of that. And it's been showing. We are charting top 200 back to the good old days.
Yeah, baby.
The good old days.
Give us a review.
Yeah.
Give us a rating.
Yeah.
So we can be in front of the eyes of more people.
Right.
And then more people will find us and they'll find us on social media and they'll watch our special day, the debut stand-up comedy special of Corinne Fisher and Christina. I wanted to read this. Hold on. Okay, cool. I wanted to read an excerpt. I've been reading this book, and there's so many things that I think are by Esther Perel. It's called Mating in Captivity: Unlocking Erotic Intelligence. There's just a small excerpt that I wanted to read because I was going through the Guys We Fucked inbox over the weekend, and there's a lot of questions about the separateness. And so when you're in a relationship. So I just wanted to read an excerpt from her book, Mating in Captivity by Esther Perel. Again, it's from chapter 2, More Intimacy, Less Sex. And the section is called Separateness is a Precondition for Connection. Okay, so just some, you know, FYIs about relationships from Esther Perel. It is too easily assumed that problems with sex are the result of a lack of closeness. But my point is that perhaps the way we construct closeness reduces the sense of freedom and autonomy needed for sexual pleasure. When intimacy collapses into fusion, it is not a lack of closeness, but too much closeness that impedes desire. Love rests on two pillars, surrender and autonomy. Our need for togetherness exists alongside our need for separateness. One does not exist without the other. With too much distance, there can be no connection, but too much merging eradicates and separates separateness of two distinct individuals. Then there is nothing more to transcend, no bridge to walk on, no one to visit on the other side, no other internal world to enter. When people become fused, when two become one, great Spice Girls song, connection can no longer happen. There is no one to connect with. Thus, separateness is a precondition for connection. This is the essential paradox of intimacy and sex. The dual and often conflicting needs for connection and independence are a central theme in our developmental histories. Throughout childhood, we struggle to find a delicate balance between our profound dependence on our primary caregivers and our need to carve out a sense of independence. The psychologist Michael Vincent Miller reminds us that this struggle is vividly represented in children's nightmares, the abandonment dreams of falling or being lost, and the engulfment dreams of being attacked or devoured by monsters. We come to our adult relationships with an emotional memory box ready to be activated. The extent to which our to which our childhood relationships nurture or obstruct both sets of needs will determine the vulnerabilities that we bring into our adult relationships, what we most want and what we most fear. We all straddle both needs. Their intensity and priority fluctuate throughout our lives, and as it happens, we tend to choose patterns whose proclivities match our vulnerabilities. Get a lot of emails about that. Some of us enter intimate bonds with an acute awareness of our need to connect, to be close, not to be alone, not to be abandoned. Others approach relationships with a heightened need for personal space. Our sense of self-preservation inspires vigilance against being devoured. Erotic emotional connection generates closeness that can become overwhelming, evoking claustrophobia. It can feel intrusive. What was initially a secure enclosure becomes confining. While our needs for closeness is almost as basic as our need for food, it carries with it anxieties and threats that can inhibit desire. We want closeness, but not so much that we feel trapped by it. All those meanderings on intimacy are still far from the awareness of John and Beatrice. That was a story she referenced earlier. The authenticity and the spontaneity of the beginning did not lead them to anticipate the ambivalence of love that would follow. From where they were, intimacy was simple. Open up, reveal, share, become transparent, open up more. I just wanted to read that because I thought, I don't know, that she puts things to words about sex and dating and relationships that I'm like, fuck, I've been trying to figure that out for a while. And it seemed to match a lot of the emails that I've been reading lately. So.
Is she married?
She is. She got divorced and married again back to the same guy.
That's right. I did know that, actually. I'm obsessed with those kind of relationships.
Yeah. Very interesting. She always has the most profound things to say about sex and dating. So maybe that'll help some of those dumb bitches out there. You know, as a former dumb bitch, I thought those words were helpful.
Lovely.
Yeah. You know what else is lovely?
Today's guest.
Yeah. Hell yeah. He is a New York City DJ, a very famous DJ, comedian, and radio and TV host. He is known as a VJ at MTV and his comedy shows around New York City, including The Stand. He's a stand-up comedian. We love him so much. Please give a warm welcome to Cypher Sounds.
Time will surely be tough out here. You will suffer through much rejection, causing you to have fear. You might have heartbreak and struggle, and you might shed some tears. But that's how you know that your blessing is near. So don't you never give up. No, never, never, never. Never, 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 never give up. Oh, I never give up. No, never, never, never. Never, 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 never give up. This year alone I had so many lessons. I questioned myself about the promise you made to me. Wanting to heaven. Oh, had me making decisions that love don't reflect the person.
We are here with stand-up comedian, very famous DJ, Cypher Sounds. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
You seemed so alarmed. Good.
You just went right into it. Like, I guess we're on.
Yeah.
You're on?
Oh, yeah. We'll do an intro for you. We already did an intro for you.
How was it?
Yeah. It was great. We were like, this motherfucker is going to make you.
Right. So they know who I am.
Roll. Yeah. Right.
Now they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I also like that you're wearing your headphones for podcasting the same way you would wear them
for
DJ.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I like to hear real sound mixed with the electronic.
I agree
sound.
With you.
Yeah. So I love interviewing comics that I know, but I don't know. What I mean?
No.
So like what was little Cypher? Like what?
Baby Cypher.
Yeah, like where are you from? What's good?
Oh, I can break it down for you.
Yeah.
So I'm from the Bronx originally. I'm Puerto Rican from the Bronx. Single mom.
Kay.
You know what I mean? It's real Puerto Rican stuff. Can I say
nice.
Bad words on here?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I can say shit.
You say whatever you want.
It's called Guys We Fucked.
Yeah. Fucked.
You I thought you cunt. Changed it to GYF because you cleaned it up.
No, that's just for advertising.
GW, GW.
That, and also, that's just for the signage. Yeah,
yeah. That's we can't be on YouTube. Yeah.
Yo, they got the rules with TikTok. You can't even spell fuck out in a video on TikTok.
I love the creativeness of people on TikTok, though, when they're like with segs.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, she makes corn videos. Like, yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Everybody's creative.
Yeah.
So I grew up in the Bronx.
Single mom.
And single mom. I got one sister. And then in 10th grade, between 9th and 10th grade, my mom moved to Long Island.
Oh.
So I moved to like a white suburban neighborhood.
How was that?
It was rough at first. Yeah. But I'm realizing now it probably saved my life.
Oh, okay. That's good. Well, because where you were wasn't good?
Not good at all.
Oh, okay.
Not good at all. And not that I was like, I mean, there was a lot of people doing bad stuff around me. I was always like the nerd. Like,
aww, if I was really? A kid,
if I was a kid today, I'd be the guy that was uploading all the gangsters' videos. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
when there's
yeah,
a bunch
yeah,
of
yeah.
gangsters and they're like, yo, you better not ever touch me. Come near me. And they're like, yo, can I WeTransfer this to you and upload it? That'd be me.
Oh, that's sweet.
but yeah, so it probably saved my life.
But you were the man
me.
Of the house. As a kid,
yes,
you're the only man in your house.
My mom said I was always an old man.
Really?
Yeah, even to this day, I'm like an old man.
How?
I just like she said I was an old Jewish man. Like I ate a lot of soup and seltzer and
had stomach aches.
And I was like, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and it all comes from when I was like very little, and I would see people drunk. And to me, I was like, well, how can you get into your house? Like, I had to let myself into my house as a kid. My mom was working. So I was like, how do you get into your house if you're, like, stumbling? So I was like, okay, don't drink.
Oh, that's so sweet. You know what I mean?
But that's not 10-year-old logic. That's old man shit.
That is old man shit.
I've had to help some people into their apartments. Like, yeah. When I lived in a big apartment in Harlem, there was, like, I literally came home one day, and there was just a woman sprawled across the floor.
On the ground, yeah.
Yeah, because she was drunk. And I, like, I like helped her get in. Yeah, yeah. And then later on, she complained about my dog barking once. And I was like, bitch, I should have left you in the hall.
I hate people like that. I hate amnesia.
Yeah.
Don't forget what I did for you.
She probably was literally blacked out and didn't
she
remember,
didn't know
though.
It was you, yeah.
And I was like, I didn't bring it up. But anyway, that was my thing is that that's a real concern. So. Yeah.
So that, and then like I saw people do drugs when I was younger. Yeah. And I didn't know. I'm 10,
like sniffing,
11.
Shooting. What
shooting.
Kind? Oh,
like heroin stuff.
Yeah.
I'm old, man.
That'll stick with you. I mean, I've seen it in Philly as an adult, and it scarred me as an adult.
But I didn't know you could drink a little.
Right,
or you could smoke weed. I thought drinking and drugs is bad.
Yeah. Right.
So
I
didn't cut it off. But like, I didn't know you could have a drink. I thought you had to get drunk. So
a lot of people still think you have to get drunk.
I think they have to, yeah. So I never did that stuff. So then I moved to Long Island, and then that's where I got into music, got into DJing.
Okay.
So that's what led me down. Like my mom's choice to move out there got me into DJing.
Oh, good. That's good. So how was your dating life? Did you have one, or were you too old man-ish for that?
No, it was all right.
Were you like
back then?
Yeah. Were 11-year-old holding hands?
Oh, no, 11. No, not until.
Yeah, when's your first memory of a girl?
I had a seventh grade. There was this girl that I really liked, and I like took all the nerve in my body to ask her to go out with me. And this is like, you have to call on a landline.
Yeah.
And I remember her name was Miriam, which also sounds like an old Jewish name, but she was Puerto Rican. And I asked her out and she said yes.
Ooh.
And then I avoided her every chance I got. I didn't know what else to do.
You didn't ask anybody like, okay, now what's the next step? Miriam was probably so pissed.
She was.
Yeah.
She was like, after like a week, she was like, what the, I thought we were going out. And I was like, I don't know what to do.
I didn't know
like,
what to do after that. I didn't think you were going to say yes.
It was so sad. I can't believe you made me remember that.
Wow. And then nothing ever happened with Miriam?
Nothing.
Shit.
Nothing.
Sometimes you gotta do stuff in baby steps even for yourself. You're like, okay, I asked, she said yes, and that's kind of all I needed.
Yeah, I think I was ready for the no.
Right.
So everything was like the no, but at least I worked up to asking.
That's impressive.
And she said yes. I think now I'm having
you gotta hit Miriam up.
It's
you gotta say sorry.
No, Tanya. I gotta find Tanya.
Tanya,
what happened with Tanya?
Tanya's middle school, eighth grade.
Okay.
Eighth grade.
And I had the biggest crush on her. I never said anything. And some random girl hit me recently on like Instagram DM. She's like, are you Luis Diaz? Because that's my real name.
Oh, I was like, who the fuck's Luis Diaz?
She goes, are you Luis Diaz? I go, yeah. She goes, I think we were in eighth grade together. Because no one knows me. Like, no one puts Cypher Sounds together with Luis Diaz. No one ever hits me from high school.
I wouldn't have known that was your
name.
Yeah,
so like, all these years of being like famous on the radio, I get no love from like back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't even think they know it's me. So she hit me. And I go, first thing I asked, you know, like a couple of minutes, oh yeah, that was me. Oh, remember this class? Hey, do you know, you got any ties on Tanya?
Yeah.
Like, and she's with the long hair. She goes, no, I haven't seen her in forever. I was like, fuck. I didn't stop responding to her.
So Tanya was someone you had a crush on and then never did anything about.
It's like the crush, the first real crush that you feel got away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you even try? To talk
no,
to
no.
Wow. You were scarred by Miriam.
I was scarred.
You were scared she was going to say yes.
It, that goes along the lines of she was one of the first ones that I thought I would try to. I'm friends with a lot of girls that I had crushes on, but I didn't know how to get at them. So I just became their friend.
Uh-huh.
She's
no
the first
one. No grown man
one.
Wants to be your friend.
Sorry?
No grown man wants to be your friend. We say that often on the podcast.
They don't want to.
They no, they want to.
Thank
something.
You.
No,
thank
no, no.
you. A lot of men try to fight it.
I mean, they would fuck if you wanted to. So.
That's what
we
mean
say.
By that. We don't mean that men are evil. We mean that every man wants to fuck you a little bit that hangs out with you.
I always tell girls that are friends with guys, you might have a great friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It could be real.
Mm-hmm. But he'd fuck you.
Yes.
But if you give him the slightest opening, he will throw away that 10-year friendship for that night.
Yes.
And that's what you need to like always like, because he will be, I'm a good friend to girls.
Uh-huh.
I am a good friend to a lot of girls.
The second a titty comes out,
that's not scary
it's
at all
on.
To say. I'm a good friend to girls.
I'm a good friend to the ones. But like, I've helped out a lot of girls, female, come to me. But like, if they give me that opening, I might take it.
Right. You would. Yeah. Right. And we know that to be true.
We know that.
So it's like, you know, just accept it. Accept it.
But if you don't ever give the opening, you could have a great friendship.
Right. Right.
So keep it close.
I mean, not all guys.
Keep those titties in your shirt, ladies.
Come on, stop flaunting the titties
around. With a dog, with like the second you say bone, they're like, oh, what's that? Like they'll wake up out of a coma.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's what it's like.
Exactly.
With a titty and a male friend.
Yeah, or like, oh, I'm gonna try on my bikini. I'm like, oh.
What kind of friends do you have?
I don't do that with my male friends.
You don't? None of that?
No. Try on a bikini?
That's an opening, right?
That's me trying to get a rise out of you. Yeah.
That's me trying to fuck.
Yeah.
Aww.
And if there's any woman who's like, I just didn't know, it's like, stop.
Yes, you
this
fucking
is why we
did.
Haven't been president.
Don't be a dumb
yet.
Bitch. Yes, you fucking
relax.
Did.
Yeah, you probably talk about this a lot on this show.
When did you actually date somebody?
Okay, so what is that? Eighth grade? So then ninth grade was a mess because I went to a specialized high school in New York City called Aviation High School.
Whoa, to become like a pilot?
Airplane mechanic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's really cool.
That's fucking cool.
So that you know in New York they have like specialized schools like Bronx Science, Brooklyn Tech.
Yeah.
So aviation is one of those. So it was 2,000 guys and 200 girls.
Oh my god.
So the pool was small.
Chickens and a crocodile ranch.
Yeah, but mind you, girls that want to be an airplane mechanic.
Right.
There was 8 girls in the school.
Right, you know? That you were like,
okay,
a
lot of lesbians.
You
okay.
would fuck me.
I mean, not even if they were lesbians, they were just tough.
Right.
Like, what cute girl wants to go to school to be an airplane mechanic?
I think now more, but it was a little
probably,
frowned upon.
I bet you
then.
Now there's
have,
more.
Yeah. Well, a listener emailed us and she's like, I fly the Blue Angels for the Navy. I'm like,
wow.
Oh,
I bet
fuck,
you now it's
bitch,
better.
That is cool as shit.
But 90s hip hop gear.
Yeah.
And some girl comes, yo, what's up? I'm Barbara. I'm like, hey, Barbara.
You got an extra rudder?
So then 10th grade is when I moved to Long Island and it's just all white girls.
Oh, okay.
Like all white people. All white people. And
Long Island white people, I feel, are a special
breed. It's a very special breed, yes. But I did okay. I did okay in there. I had this one girl, Kelly Ungerheyer.
Bleep that, Chad.
You gotta bleep it?
Yeah, we have a lawyer listen to this. We'll just bleep it. You can say it. It's fine.
Okay, well, Kelly,
so when people recall middle school, high school shit, it's some reason your brain like wants to say the first and last name because in school you
that's
always
what we
said
were known
the first
by,
and last. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, Kelly.
Yeah.
Me and her got it on good for a minute.
What'd that mean? Get a finger? Get a finger in?
Not with Kelly. Nothing happened.
You make out?
Make out, yeah, 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 yeah. I had another girl, Jamie. She went to a different school.
Whitest name.
Jamie? Yeah. She wasn't my first, but my first was this girl, Dawn, at 15. And then, but Jamie was my first girlfriend that I did everything with.
Okay,
and
got it.
Middle
got
school.
It.
I mean, wow, high school, everything.
Okay, wow. You dated a lot.
I was all right.
Yeah.
And then I had this girl, Jeanette, and she was like, she was more along the lines of hip. She was like, she was rough. She wore Timberland boots.
Nice.
And yeah, she was gangster.
She an airplane mechanic?
She probably was.
Yeah. She sounds
she was
cool.
Super yeah. cute. She was gorgeous, but she was rough.
Nice.
She was rough. Like, actually, after me, I heard she started dating somebody from this really hardcore rap group. And I was like, wow, that's
damn.
That's a lot.
Nice. But, you were the gateway.
But she was like, yeah. So Jamie and her, Jeanette, was the first ones I got, like, learned everything.
Did you get any sex ed? Like, did your mom talk to you about it? Or did your school give it
Nothing.
To you? Does airplane mechanic school teach sex ed?
That's a good point.
No, I got no talk. I got no talk.
And what pornographic images were available to you? Not the internet yet, right?
Nope. I remember the first porn I ever saw, me and my friends, this was still when I was in the Bronx. We went to some store that sold VHS tapes. And we're just like, he'll give us one. So he just gave us any one. And it was a midget dressed in a Santa uniform.
Okay, that's running, the one that he chose.
Running
that's
around
that's
a
limo hilarious.
And had sex with a girl in a But that's when... you know, it was like four dudes watching it. And I was like, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. I'm never going to watch
yeah.
with porn with guys again.
Yeah.
I don't understand that one.
And some kids do it. They can kind of compartmentalize it.
So I didn't have a dad growing up. So my dad died when I was very young.
Okay.
So now as an adult, I look back and I go, oh, I wonder if your dad told you it was okay to do this or like... Yeah, watch porn with your friends. It's fine. Like, I didn't have that.
I've never heard of a dad saying that. I'm sure a dad has said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm sure a dad has.
But I haven't heard of that.
That's not like a dad thing that you missed out on.
Yeah.
That one I didn't miss.
It's not, yeah. It's not a dad.
My dad didn't give my brother the sex talk at all.
No. Nothing.
No, nothing. We were on our own.
Yeah, so I got no sex talk, man. And
so you learned sex, you know, by doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God nothing happened.
In terms of pregnancy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my mom was super young when she had me. She had me at 16.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So it was like,
so you're close in age.
Who, my big sister?
You and your mom.
Yeah, she's like my big sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom used to pick me up from school and kids used to hit on her.
I was
going to
say, she hot?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it sucks.
You traumatized by having a hot
mom. What's it like to have a hot mom? I always, Dua Lipa's dad is the hottest guy I've ever seen. And I'm like, I would fucking be so uncomfortable if my dad was that hot.
Yeah, like
it's weird
being around your friends and stuff.
And just being around, I mean, I guess you're not dragged to him because it's your dad, but that guy's so hot that I don't know.
But when do you find out? I remember when I found out my mom was hot.
Oh, right? Okay.
Like, she picked me up from school, and these three kids were on bikes. They were older, and they went by on bikes, and they were, like, hollering at her.
Oh, and you were there?
And I was like, yeah, I was there. She was holding my hand, and I was like...
Yeah, and you're like, taken.
I was like, why are they talking to my mom? And I'm like, oh, they think my mom is hot.
Oh.
And it like my whole world changed.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, that's why that guy was nice to me.
Yeah. Okay, so you can start using it for your advantage.
Yeah. This one guy was trying to holler at my mom. He tried to be like a dad. He like took me to baseball games and stuff.
Oh, my God.
It didn't work.
You were a pawn.
Yeah, it didn't work out for him.
Wow.
But he tried.
That's a good way to try. I like that his way of trying is like to get close to the kid.
Yeah.
That says that you're in it to win it.
Yeah, he went for it, but nah, it
didn't work. You get a lot of free stuff for having a hot mom? Because it seems like you could have like used
this. No, not as much as I probably could
as you should have.
Yeah,
you're too much of an old Jew to really take advantage.
I didn't realize my mom is a shiksa, so.
So what happens after high school? Where,
so
how
I
do
go,
you sexually blossom?
So Jeanette was good. Then I go to community college I went to National Community for a very specific studio engineering program. I actually could have went to NYU, which I should have went. But then I met girlfriends after that. Then Then I started DJing.
What got you into DJing?
So I was around, I moved to a white town on Long Island.
Right.
I missed the sounds of my neighborhood.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Hip hop was all around me growing
up. I can't imagine their music taste was good in Long Island.
No, they was into hip hop, but it wasn't like, it was like forced.
Right.
In the Bronx, it was all around me. Then when I left, I missed it.
Yeah.
So then I got into DJing and then producing, and then my whole life was just hip hop.
Mm.
And I just dove into hip hop. I started interning at a college radio station, and then I got booked I got hooked up with some other DJs, and I was opening up for them. It's like comedy.
Yeah,
it's like
how
you be the opener and you work your way up.
Yeah.
And then I got with this manager. She managed Funkmaster Flex, who's like my mentor.
Shit. Wow.
And then my first big gig, I DJ'd for Lil' Kim.
Wow.
Holy shit.
That was like my first
big gig. That's insane.
I'm like 19, 20
Damn.
Years old. Yeah.
And do you feel like the coolest fucking kid in the world?
I say it all the time, like on my podcast, the Juan Epstein podcast.
Yeah, yeah, Juan Epstein nerd.
I say it all the time. I go, no, when I was DJing for Lil' Kim, and they always get annoyed that I always say that, but I was like, it's a perfect time reference.
Yeah.
It's like 96, 97.
Damn.
Like, so I don't.
Did you hang out with her?
All the time.
What was she like?
Super cool.
Oh, man.
Super cool. Lil' Kim is actually a really cool person. Her persona on those records was like very much exaggerated.
Yeah. Like a comic would.
Yeah. Let's hope so. If anyone's like, that's exactly how she is.
What do you mean? She didn't always stuff her pussy with some tampons for the photo shoot?
She taught me about my own body. Welcome, song.
You ever saw the first album cover? Bumping.
Well, but and that hip hop, like, chicks in hip hop in the 90s had some sexually explicit songs that I fucking love. Yeah. My 13-year-old ass would be dancing, like grinding with some kid in middle school at a dance to like My Neck, My Back. And it was best.
Big Mama thing, the first line is, I used to be scared of the dick. Now I throw lips in his shit. That's like, wow, first line.
That was the first example to me
of
like,
coming hot.
This is how you take a dick, ladies. Like that, I feel like that was her vibe.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
Yeah, but she was very sweet.
Nice lady.
Very, very sweet lady.
A little kitty cat.
But yo, I always was like, I always was like respectful to girls, and I always like, I always had like relationships. So I'm DJing for Lil' Kim, and I didn't get anything out of it.
Like, wow.
There was
because you had a girlfriend or because you were professional?
Both.
Okay.
Both. But I had a girlfriend some of the time. Asian girl named, should I say her name?
I mean, you could say her first name if you want.
It seems like you're taking a walk down memory lane.
I know,
so go ahead.
I know,
Only
absolutely.
The first name,
just
please.
First name.
Just
yeah.
the first name.
Can I give her social? Social security.
Yeah, we'll bleep it, but you can.
Whatever, you don't need her name. But she was, I used to work in a record shop before I went on the road with Lil' Kim, and she was always in the record shop. So like, I know she was into hip hop.
Yeah.
She used to buy vinyl, so we were always really cool. And then
so you were on the road. Damn.
No, on the road with Lil' Kim.
What, a bus? Is she tour bus?
No, it was very early. It was like her first album. So we were white 15 passenger van.
Wow.
And then we never went on tour where we were like on a bus. It would just always be on the weekends.
Okay, yeah, right.
Like fly to all the cities.
Like road gigs, okay.
Yeah.
Like road gigs, yeah. So then hundreds of girls.
And doing what? Like, what kind of shit do you see? Like, I feel like these are the debaucherous environments.
I sound very lame right now on this podcast.
No, so, you don't sound lame but before we get into this, you said something very interesting, just kind of in passing, and you're like, I didn't get anything out of it, which is like no shade, but it's an interesting mindset because you're like, I didn't get any,
there was
by
no
that
pussy,
you meant I didn't
so
get any pussy out of it.
The fact
right.
that I DJ'd like, for Lil' Kim and she rose to fame.
Yeah, it's like you got a ton out of it. You got what women get out of careers.
I didn't get out
the experience.
Of it.
Yeah, you really handle that like a chick, dude.
Yeah, I didn't get out of it.
You did it for like
what
the job.
You guys discuss on this show.
Right, right. Or you know, satisfaction.
Enough. But that's
from a job well done.
That's better for this show.
Yeah.
We don't really love hearing stories about how a guy DJ'd once and then everyone
all
threw
this pussy.
Their pussy at
yeah,
him. That's
like,
we don't love stories like that.
Listen, I met girls DJ. You know what I mean?
Right.
I met girls DJ. I met girls at clubs. I've never had a one night stand. a one night stand where you meet someone, you have sex with them, never speak to them again.
Right.
I've had sex on the first night.
Sure. Right. But then you date or a little.
Or like even if they were from out of town, I would still keep in touch.
Right. Which and I then, guess.
And
then
like I would Junior Mafia and they would go to a town and these girls would come up to him like, remember me? I met you last year with Biggie. And they're like, nah, but come to the hotel room.
So yeah. Like, so what kind of shit did you see? So you didn't dive into the pussy on tour, but.
You got to like any rapper, there's going to be a lot of girls around. I know. This is Lil' Kim.
Yeah. Right, so what the
and
fuck?
And these goons would.
Little did she have dick everywhere?
She was. Listen, we did the show, and she was in the room.
Yeah, that's a woman's life.
She
man.
Went right to the
focus.
Room.
That's a woman why she's on the so road. Successful. Yeah. Focus.
Didn't get distracted by dick.
I never saw anything with her, and like. So that all the guys, they would shout out the hotel on stage.
Oh, shit.
Like, we're at the Courtyard Marriott.
They're getting something out of it. Yeah. Incredible.
Before we even left the show, we would get to the hotel and the lobby was packed. Like, swarmed. I seen the craziest shit.
When women want to fuck someone because of fame, they'll go through great lengths to do it. As someone who's been kind of on that side, like, and I've seen it, I'm like, damn, a determined woman who's horny.
I mean, I get out of the way. You're in, you know, whatever, Virginia Beach or Charlotte.
That's
or
where I grew up.
And it's like, really?
Yeah.
So like, it's like I don't know if we're spoiled because I grew up in New York, so there's always a lot of stuff, and I think out of town maybe there's not as much stuff.
Yeah.
So this is the thing.
Yeah.
This Lil' Kim is here tonight. This is the thing. Lobby would be packed. I saw guys dropping off their girlfriends. I've seen guys waiting in the lobby.
Yeah.
For their girls to go. So they would go to the elevator. We had security.
To fuck?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, that's like the story you hear about Will, what's up?
Silvins.
No. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Will Smith. That dads would drop off their daughters to fuck him back before
wow.
he was.
Yeah, I've heard those kinds.
This squeaky clean version of himself. That. Yeah.
Well, we go to the elevator. So the first thing is we have
sex
to protect
and power,
Kim.
Man.
Right?
Yeah.
So we all surround Kim.
Yeah.
We have security. We surround Kim. We get her to the elevator.
That alone will make me wet.
We, like, always,
ooh,
we always
you're
had
protecting
to like,
me?
We had to like we had to hit like four different floors so that you wouldn't see what floor on the top of the elevator she was on.
Yeah.
We get her to her room and then everyone goes downstairs. So they would have like a system. They wait, have somebody by the elevator, and they would just start pointing girls out. And they're like, you.
Wow.
You.
Wow.
And they would come, and then like, oh, but my friend wants to come. They look at the friend, be like, nah.
Does she leave her friend?
A lot of times, yes.
Damn. Chicks before dicks.
Sometimes, no. There was some, you know, cool girls. Like, some girls just wanted to meet Kim. But you would see them, like, filter out quickly.
Right.
If they just like, oh, I just want to meet Kim. They're like, nah, Kim's not meeting nobody right now. Or they'll be like, you can meet Kim after you come to my room. That was a lot of the
and
currency.
And then there was no Kim.
There was no Kim. Yeah, no, in no the Kim. Morning.
Oh, they stayed that long.
If you got to stay overnight.
If you passed the test. And ran to the obstacle course and got the request.
You could say hi to Kim.
At the breakfast buffet.
Did Kim know why people were getting to say hello to her? And she was fine with this?
Fine with it.
Okay.
It was her team. These are like her brothers.
Yeah.
So she's in the car. She's in the limo.
It's like, when we have guys travel with us, we're like, yeah, get the pussy. It's fine. You know, it's, I'm what am I going to do with it?
Okay.
I don't want to talk to the people though.
Sorry, can I travel with you guys?
We need a DJ now. Yeah. All of a sudden DJ shows up at Guys We Fuck shows.
That'd be lit.
Let's talk. So they get to say hi to her. And then also there was like some regulars, like girls that they had in that town already. Because remember, these guys all traveled with Biggie.
Okay.
So then when Biggie was recording his second album, they would go with Kim.
Right.
So Kim had a solo album.
Right.
Because Kim's first run was with Biggie and Junior Mafia.
Right. Wow.
So they already knew some of these girls. And they're like, girls would show up. I don't know how.
Wow.
I don't know how they kept in contact back then.
Oh, yeah, because like, they had all cell phone beepers, right?
I guess beepers, landlines, like...
Oh, shit,
I don't know if there was any stamps involved.
Wow.
So it's not easy like
now. Yeah, like, here's my address. I'll write you a letter.
I guess they call. I don't know. I mean, I remember one guy had a cell phone, and it was like the big
brick.
One.
Yeah.
So then there'd be girls. So in my room sometimes, I would have like... what I call the holding room. So there'd be like four or five girls in my room. And they were the friends of the girls that were getting dicked down in all the other rooms.
So you had the ugly room.
They weren't ugly.
No. But then why did you end up in holding?
They just were like.
They didn't want to watch their friend get fucked?
Yeah. They weren't into like. They some hang. Girls would do threesomes. So there'd be two girls in a room. But they weren't like that. But they were waiting for their friend.
Right.
They
didn't want to leave their sweet. Friend.
So they're like. Jesus Christ. I remember one girl was on the phone. And I had my little producing machine. I was like making beats. And I had a headphone on, but like this, one ear was off.
Yeah.
And she was like, nah, I'm in the DJ's room. Oh. Nah, he's cute, but he's been playing with his beats.
Nerdy ass DJ.
And I was like,
you just really love your job. So it's very sweet.
Yeah. So then I met a couple girls that like, I always met the girls, like the girl who was like, freaky, her like nerdy cousin.
Okay.
Like she also liked little
freaky
kid,
adjacent.
Yeah, and then she'd be like kind of like shy and nerdy, and then like I'd be like, hey, you seem like you're cool. What's going on? And we would talk, and like then sometimes it would lead to going on that night, but it would be like blowjob. Real.
Yeah. Genuine connection. It wasn't just fucking.
I never just fucked a girl.
Like, yeah.
Almost. I remember I did like twice. And I was like, I don't like this feeling.
Yeah, yeah. What, you want to get to know him first?
So I got to, there has to something. Be some kind of connection.
Yeah, sure. You have to build the energy. What is the energy like between us in order to see what, you know.
I got to be, it's got to be, so we got to be some kind
sex
of conversation.
Sex is intimate. And when you just kind of do it as a throwaway, it can lose
what
its
is,
luster.
But when people take the intimacy out, like, what is it?
It's just a dick going into a pussy?
Like, but well, if it's guys, people? These guys, they had to fuck every night.
Yeah, that's a different
kind of problem.
They were running away from themselves. They were trying to fill a void in their heart and soul with pussy.
And
that's a common thing.
Like, and I was just like, and they would like laugh at me like, oh, you got you a girlfriend. I'm like, maybe she might be my girlfriend. What's wrong with it?
I actually think we have a great bond.
So one time we go to Miami, you know Luke, right?
No.
Uncle Luke, the Two Live Crew.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Song, the famous song, hey, we want some pussy.
Yep.
And then the crowd goes, hey. Okay, so Uncle Luke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's known. He has all Two Live Crews, all strippers, pornographic stuff, all that stuff. So we get to the show. It shows at his club that he owns. He picks us up from the airport with like 10 girls in like bikinis and minks.
Nice.
Wow.
It's at the airport.
Shit.
It's a thing. They're all outside. Everyone's like, Uncle Luke, you got the girls. So we go, we do the show. And then Luke's like, yo, y'all, great show. Y'all killed it. I'm going to send girls to your rooms. So everybody was like, oh, great. We don't have to scoop girls. We're getting Luke girls tonight.
Do the girls have any say what room they're going to?
Well, shut the fuck up. I have no say. I don't know how. So.
No, in that environment, though, a lot of times the chick's just like happy to be there.
But these are Luke girls. They're like,
what does that mean?
Strippers or.
Oh, they were hired?
Know. I don't know. I don't know if there's money
exchange.
That makes me feel a lot better, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a lot of
so
work.
He's like, I'm sending girls to your room. So they're like, it's like an off night for them. Like, oh, we don't got to try to find girls. Like, they're just coming to our
room.
Right. So they go. So I hear the elevator open. I'm in my room. I hear like, you can hear like 10 girls get out the elevator. They're all talking. Yeah, da, 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 da. And then I just you know how women are.
Yep.
And I just hear down the hall just, starting to knock on all the doors because like we're all in the same floor,
right?
Oh, what's up? Oh, what's up? What's your name? I'm Candy. Da, 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 da.
Wow.
Okay, I hear it all.
Wow.
And my door. And it's just shh. And I was like, I just was quiet. I muted the TV. I just quiet. She's like, hello. So she goes, no one's in this one. And then someone yells, nah, that's the DJ. He's in there.
Narc.
Yo, and I was so scared.
Wow. What were you scared of?
These girls.
They're going to just sit on your face?
You know Megan Thee Stallion?
Yeah, of course.
Imagine 10 Megan Thee Stallion.
That's like, amazing.
I couldn't. I was scared.
That was too much for you.
I'm an underground hip hop DJ.
Yeah.
She had the biggest ass ever. I was like, I can't handle it. Yeah. I can't handle it. I can't. I don't know what I'm doing.
What's the wildest shit you ever saw during this time? Like sticking stuff up places. I don't know. Like
there was one time it was a wild night. I think it was Texas. So, you know, the rapper Mace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before Mace blew up, he had like 3 songs out. He was blowing up, but he didn't have an album out yet.
Yeah.
So he came on the road with us. And that when he came out with us, the girls would go bonkers. So that night we go to the hotel. I mean, I don't know what got into everyone, but everyone had their door open. Like we had like kind of like, you get off the elevator of the hotel, you have to go through a door.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that wing of that floor was all ours. So they had like a security guard at the door. And then every door was open and wow. Everyone was just like
fucking
in the hallway.
Wow.
In the
fun.
You could walk past
orgy.
The rooms. It was an orgy.
That's so fun. Was people using condoms?
Because I'm on your team. I would hang out with you and we could make beats together. I would be I would be hate like, that.
Oh, look at these people.
I used to love
taking advantage of being a human.
I used to love meeting a girl randomly at a show. And we would go to like IHOP or something.
Oh, that's
and like,
sweet.
Hang, yeah. I know.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
We're going to IHOP.
We're going to Denny's, going to IHOP.
Yes. Moons over Miami and have
and
some
I'm like,
chats.
You know your cousin's getting fucked right now, but little
Caesar. Absolutely.
She's
that's
like,
why I'm in this booth.
I know.
Did you ever talk to the dudes that were doing the fucking like that, like about it? Like, was it empty for them or was it like genuinely enjoyable? Or
I mean, I'm 20.
Right.
I didn't know how to grasp.
Your brain wasn't developed
yeah.
yet.
But I would be like, oh, because one time I remember there was this one girl. She was gorgeous. And she was dressed in all white when she came out. She had a white Benz.
Wow. So,
yeah. And I tell C's, I'm like, yo, that's a catch.
Yeah.
Like, what, you ever thought about, you know, making, you know, being serious with her? Like, she's really cool. Like, she was, every time we went to, I think it was Virginia. Every time we went there, she would come out and she would bring a bunch of friends. I'm like, yo, you should make her your girl. And the amount of laughter coming out of his face.
Wow. Wouldn't even have considered that. He wouldn't even have.
Not eat. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, she's cute. She obviously has money. Like, she had a business. She had like a, I think she ran like some salons or something.
Nice.
So I was like, she's like a business woman.
Yeah,
Walmart.
Bad bitch.
Business woman. She got a little
driving
Benz.
Suit. Yeah.
And he laughed at me. Like, wow. Why would I even consider
how
that?
How old were these? How old was he?
He's my age.
Oh, okay. So they were like, how everyone was all 20?
He was probably 21. Yeah,
okay.
Like when Junior Mafia came out, he was 15.
Oh, shit. Okay.
You know,
okay.
16
okay.
years old.
What
you know
the
what I mean?
Fuck?
So this is just kids in a candy
how
shop.
How does that,
kids.
Okay, so you, like, it's kids. Like when you start dating somebody, you don't go right to anal, you know? Because it's like, or you don't do like the kinkiest shit right away because it's like, what, you know, you want to ease into it. How do you, I imagine you have this tolerance for sex that's like too much. Like it's like a drug that you've done too much of and you got to do more and more of it and then it just becomes unenjoyable.
That's what it seems like. And it just seemed like they had to like, it's like they couldn't sleep alone.
Right. Aw.
They couldn't like. They.
Their heart was lonely.
I know. It's really bad thinking back to it.
I mean, it's something that happens. And but also too, a teenage boy.
But you,
my
but,
God, that's
but
like a dream for a teenage boy.
Your best friend is Biggie.
Yeah,
the
that's
biggest
crazy.
Rapper ever. Like,
yeah. What do you do with
it
that?
It was thrown. Because, like,
I'd be anxious all the time.
My shit was, I was nowhere near as famous as them because they had rap videos out. All
sure.
Stuff. But even just
you were
being
adjacent,
a DJ.
Though. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But even just being a DJ, like, not with them, like, just in nightclubs,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're like the center of attention. You get, like, so it messed me up because to this day, I don't know how to, like, just walk up to a girl at a bar and spit game because if you don't see me on stage, I feel like I don't have anything.
Yeah, but now you talk for a living.
No, I'm saying yeah. If I do a show,
right?
There it could be something, but
right.
not.
But you're saying if you just walked in cold and people didn't know what your career was or who you are,
exactly.
You don't feel like you have anything like you within yourself.
On.
Yeah.
To this day.
But I think that's a lot of people in the entertainment business, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you face yourself in a weird way and it's a weird ego thing.
But a lot of people, if they have that flaw or whatever you call it, obstacle like I have,
yeah.
But they take advantage of the other thing,
mm-hmm.
where it's like when girls throw themselves at them,
yeah.
I don't like it. It's too much.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Also, I was saying this the other day. I go into a trance when I DJ. I really care about DJing, or I used to. And
now,
what happened that you don't anymore? Comedy. Oh, comedy took over?
Yeah, it's just,
moved on.
Yeah, I moved on. I was playing, I love DJing. But I was playing other people's art.
Yeah.
Where I like doing stand-up, it's my art.
Right.
Yeah. You know? But I'd go into a trance, and then I had 2 hours of DJing, and I see like color and movement, and then I come out of it. And then all my friends have girls. They met girls throughout the night.
Right.
They scooped up girls. Oh, I met this chick. I met this chick. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Where's my girl?
And they're like, what
are you
talking
about? The satisfaction of a night well
she's
played.
Home in New York.
They're like, the girls were staring at you.
Right.
Yeah.
All night. But I was like,
but
I
you
was,
were, yeah, you're working. Yeah, you're, and you're working. Actively involved when you're DJing. And you're responsible for everybody having a good time.
I hate DJs that just do it for girls. To get girls,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or
I
comics,
like a lot
or whoever,
do.
Entertainment. Yeah. But yeah, so those days, it was rough. It was a lot of, and then one time they just sent this girl to my room, and no, I was in their room, and they told this girl to go with me to my room.
And they didn't tell you? And you're like, no.
I had sex with her. That's one of the girls. Okay. I had sex with her. Oh, I guess it's a one night stand. Isn't it a one night
stand? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You,
I mean, I don't know. Did you have sex
though.
With her again?
No. I don't even.
So then, yes.
They like almost forced it on me, which was very weird.
Were they in the room when you stuck your dick in her?
No.
Why did they care so much about you getting fucked?
I don't know, because I was like a nerd. I was like the nerd guy. I was like the technical DJ guy.
Yeah.
I was always worried about the show. And they're like, nah, you got to get some pussy, man.
Right. Yeah, they're like, chill, yeah.
People always think that everyone wants what they want. And it's makes life very confusing.
And I had like other goals, other values, whatever. I mean, I speak to Lil C's to this day. Like, he's super cool now. But back then, he was like, yo, no, you got to get these girls. Blah, blah, blah. And then we went to my room and we had sex. And I hated it. I hated
it. Did she like it?
I don't think so.
She could probably tell you hated it. That type of sex sucks.
I mean, it was fast.
Well,
I don't know.
Thank God.
Like, I don't know if she, I don't think she was a prostitute. But she definitely like had sex for money.
Okay,
you know, maybe, like,
she was some type of sex worker.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But did she ask you for money?
No.
Because did your friend pay her?
I think they paid like.
Oh, it was
overall.
Like a package deal,
right?
Yeah,
right.
It seems
right.
like.
One time we
you
were in Texas,
service.
And we did a gay club because Lil' Kim was huge in the gay community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we do a gay club, but there was a lot of transvestites at the time, which that's what we called them back then.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't
transgender.
But back then we used to say transvestite.
Yeah,
is
no.
That,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's what they used
to
say.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
Yeah, for sure.
So, this is bad, but they were like, at the elevator, they were checking girls' Adam's apples.
Oh, my God.
Before I let them upstairs. And I was
Jesus
like, this
Christ.
Is too, I was like, just take the night off, guys.
Yeah.
If you're that worried, if you're that worried, take the night off.
Right. It wouldn't kill you to just watch TV one night. And order room service.
And like, but there was a lot of straight girls at that show,
right.
club. But it's known as a gay club.
Right. Yeah,
but,
right. Yeah.
And I was just like, if you're that scared.
Right.
It's crazy.
Or just ask too. I
they
mean,
would
you could
ask,
just
but,
ask.
It, but it was, I mean, this is 98, 97. They were asking very disrespectfully. Like,
yeah, right.
Nowadays,
right,
it would be very bad. But,
right.
But yeah, they did some wild shit, man. And it was always crazy. And Kim, I would go to Kim's room sometimes to hide out.
I'm sure she appreciated having another friend that didn't try to
cool.
fuck everybody.
It's two people who love the art hanging out.
Yeah.
I love this. I love this vision of you and Lil' Kim just, well,
just
I mean,
watching the Golden Girls.
Just artistic people in the zone. It's six. That's why you guys are still working today.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's longevity in that.
Yeah, the good
There's
old
a lot
days.
Of longevity in that.
Yeah.
Who else? Have you ever, who else? Have you ever met Beyonce?
What?
Have you ever met Beyonce?
Yeah. Many times.
Was she
well,
like,
I know. Almost everybody.
Do like, you know Beyonce?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I like you have Beyonce's
Beyonce.
Number?
No.
She
I had it
she
back in the day.
Oh my
right.
God. I feel like she's like Justin Bieber and that she
changes it
like every week.
Yeah, but I met Beyonce when she was like 17.
Jay-Z? Oh, yeah. Like
before
Destiny's
that.
Child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Destiny's Child, like
yeah.
early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, and then I knew
she's
her.
She's so fucking cool.
She's always been cool.
Yeah.
But she's too, like, she's like,
she's a hard worker too.
Yeah, like
that.
She's almost like too cool because
yeah, she is.
She's all about the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's the epitome of human potential in my
eyes.
Yeah,
She's the best. So like, I met her when she was like 17, and wow. then Destiny's Child, and I used to be on the road with Mos Def.
Wow.
So they were, they had a thing, I think. Ooh. They were friends, but I don't know if it was more. But then,
oh,
like,
okay.
Exclusive.
Yeah, you heard here.
So then I met her with Jay, and Jay.
Wait, you were with Jay when he met Beyonce?
No. Not when he met her, but I was with him when he introduced me to her as his girl.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
That's yeah. history in the
so,
making.
So she goes, hey, this is my girl B. And she looked at me like, you don't know me. I don't know you.
She didn't put up with shit.
My God. I fucking love Beyonce so much. Beyonce
is great.
Beyonce is my idol in for everything forever and has been for 15 years. That's awesome. That's
but like people like that, like I bet tons of girls from girl groups.
Yeah.
That, oh, you know what I think with? Kinda. I fucked it up. Why do I always fuck it up? Remember the Cheetah Girls?
Yes. Of course we know the Cheetah Girls. Which one?
Remember the Cheetah Girls?
I can't believe that you're going to drop some Cheetah Girl romance on us.
I can't wait to hear this.
I messed it up.
Who'd you mess it up with?
I think you don't even know
the one's name?
Sabrina.
Sabrina. Okay. Yeah.
Sabrina.
Okay.
She did my radio show. Okay. She had like a, maybe like a workout tape out or something.
So 90s.
Some kind of tween.
Okay.
That's very Cheetah
a
Girl.
A tween workout. Yeah. It's more 2000s. Some kind of tween workout or dance.
Was she
video.
Promoting it on your show?
She was promoting it. Yeah, that's what she was doing.
Okay.
And then, so we exchanged, I think like whatever the device was at the time, like two ways.
Yeah, the flip.
The kick.
Oh my God.
I never had a sidekick, but yeah, the one that flipped. I had the Motorola to it.
Yes.
So we're texting back and forth a little. And then she was like, come to my show tonight or whatever. And I didn't go for whatever reason.
What the fuck?
I had like a
you
gig
keep
or something.
Fucking this shit up.
No, I fucked this one up. This one I regret.
Damn.
This one I regret. So I was like, hey, I'm running to this gig, but I'll come after, you know? And then I didn't go after. And she was like, oh, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Cheetah Girl's heart.
No, this one was bad. Like, she wrote to me, like, I really thought you were, like, a good one. Like, you were going to come hang out with me.
Wow.
That's to this day. To this day.
Wow.
I found the email.
Wow.
So just, like, what? You don't remember your mindset specifically other than you had another gig? Or were you, like, scared? It seemed like you were scared. And you're like, oh, I have a gig, so sorry.
I don't think I was scared of that one.
Because I understand having the gig and prioritizing work. And like that's definitely been a common theme in my life and like men that I like's lives. And I respect that. But like beyond that, there's no excuse for telling someone you're going to be there and then not showing up.
No, at that time, what ruined all my relationships was work.
Okay. That's fair.
I could have a birthday trip planned with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And a gig comes up, and I'll cancel the birthday trip.
Oh, yeah.
I know guys like that in comedy.
But if it's a really important gig, I wouldn't want my friend to like miss out on a big opportunity.
But that's the thing. I don't think it was that important.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing. I think as like you get older, you realize that you have to sometimes you have to go on a birthday trip, and you have to say no to some gigs, and you have to let
and
some stuff
only,
slip through your fingers.
Not only have to, you should want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm thinking in my mind, because also like I'll drive anywhere. I love driving. I love going on the road.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh, I'll just go meet her tomorrow in Boston or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'll just drive
up. Did
you
tell her that?
Yeah, but she radio silence.
Wow.
Like, because you had already broken enough promises to her.
Yeah.
And she was probably
she was smart.
I probably said like two or three times I'm on my way or I'm coming.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all about commitments. I always, anytime I like kind of don't know if to do work or something with family or friends, I always think of this story about how Katie Holmes got hired to play Joey on Dawson's Creek. And so she was like in the final rounds of auditions for Dawson's Creek. And they knew this show was going to be a hit. They knew.
Yeah.
And she had made a commitment to play the lead in her high school play.
Ugh.
And she didn't want to let
her castmates down.
Yeah.
So she stayed and did the play in her high school and like self-taped and sent a tape where she did like a scene with like her mother or something in the basement and sent it in. And then she and they were so moved at how committed she was to the high school castmates that she not only made right by her high school castmates, she also got one of the most, you know, iconic teen roles of all time.
But that success story is
That's a good,
few and far between.
Right.
Like,
right, but it I think but I think it's nice to know that like sometimes you can, and it's not, you know, it's not to, it's not about like getting rewarded. Like the interesting part of that story to me is not that she ended up being rewarded for it. It's that it's a real like testament to her
the
character.
Commitment, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Now nowadays, I mean, I still struggle with it, but nowhere like I was back then.
Right.
Yeah. But any gig, I was like, look, I'm a poor kid from the Bronx.
Sure.
You got an envelope with $1,000 in it, and I'm saying no.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it back then.
Yeah,
right.
I couldn't.
$1,000 cash. Holy shit! Oh, if I would have seen that, like, I remember the first time I was, I got paid a $100 bill for something. And I was like, holy shit, I'm rich.
Getting
like,
a $100 bill today still feels good.
Today, still yeah, it feels great. Right. I don't. I never break hundreds.
I know, me too.
Yeah. I stack them.
I love getting a $100 bill on a weekend show. It feels so nice.
I still, to this day, do not crack hundreds.
Yeah.
I have like 300s in my pocket right now for in case of emergency.
Right.
But if I get hundreds, I'm like, oh, hold this, 100.
Yeah.
So yeah, I fucked up in that. And I mind you, all my relationships, all of them ended or were destroyed by me working too much.
Mm-hmm. Did the woman end them, or did you?
Woman, woman.
She did got it ever fed up. Hurt you? And but it never hurt you enough to stop living like that.
Because your first true love was that DJ equipment.
Because I kind of agree with you. Like I, a lot of times, like I will constantly prioritize work, but I don't regret it.
Right.
Because no one has made me not want to.
And also, too, though, you get a partner that doesn't mind that. That's possible too.
Yeah.
It depends on what your schedule is, but that's also possible. Somebody's also busy.
And I think some people's true love is just what they do.
Yeah.
Like I think your true love doesn't have to be a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's true for sure.
Society doesn't raise us right.
I never feel more alive than when I'm like working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Well, whatever. Then that's a,
you're in the flow.
Yeah.
You're expressing yourself, your creativity. Your creativity is your dignity. And so when you find when you find what you're good at and then you excel at it and then you're adjacent to all those people.
I agree 100%, but I could have had more balance.
Yeah.
I could have had more balance.
Well, your life's not over. You're talking like that's done.
No, my life is great now. My balance is great. I got kids.
Yeah.
I take off nights.
Yeah.
Good. Like I am not working this night.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but so-and-so's in town. And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't. That's good. Now you have the balance.
You can't let a kid down like that. Yeah.
Did being adjacent to all that partying and debauchery kind of fulfill the need to like experience it? Cause I feel like that's, I could imagine like you kind of get your fill by seeing it.
I when I tell you I'm the least party guy, like it was all just, it just came with the work.
And you never had a drink ever?
Never. I had a sip of a 40.
That is it, Simon?
In eighth grade. Like, my friend's brother was like, yo, y'all want a 40? I'm like, yeah, we want a 40. I took one sip. I was like, why do people drink this?
Yeah, it tastes like shit.
This is disgusting.
Yeah.
Please release an album called Sip of a 40. That's incredible.
Really good.
That's incredible.
And then I always tell the story, Big Pun, rapper Big Pun.
Yeah.
Put a gun to my stomach and made me take a shot of Hennessy.
Okay, so that makes sense.
That's peer pressure.
Yeah.
Big Pun.
But he was joking. He was very funny. But it was definitely a loaded gun.
Yeah.
Well, like with his with his fat finger around the trigger. Yeah, like it just squoze and
funny's one word for it.
I shot Syph in the stomach.
Whoopsies.
But he goes,
now he needs a colostomy.
It all worked out, Chad. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
He goes, yo, give me two shots of Hennessy. He goes, yo, I bought you a shot of Hennessy. I was I don't drink Pun. And he's like,
yeah, you do. The fuck you do?
So then he ordered two more and I ran away.
Oh my God, he's like a military dad. Wow.
And then I've had like a sip of I grabbed the wrong cup while I was DJing.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's not Coke.
When you had those two shots, did you get drunk?
Just one shot.
Oh, one shot?
I was dizzy.
Wow.
I was dizzy.
Wow. No weed? Never smoked weed?
Never.
Damn.
I mean, I've definitely been secondhand high because I'm in a limo or van with every single person smoking.
So you are sober.
So it's I always thought sober was like when you stop something.
No.
I was just sober.
You just live a sober life.
Yeah, sober life.
Honestly, you're really fucking cool.
You're straight edge.
Straight edge is like, I feel like you're against it.
No, yeah. You know what I mean?
Straight edge has a culture that's connected to it that's annoying.
Some might say obnoxious. How many tattoos can I fit on my body?
That's the difference, Sai, but you're not annoying.
Yeah, I'm not, like, I don't mind people drinking and smoking. I'm not against it.
You're not going to ruin the party.
But I'll tell you right now, if I'm around you and you're drinking and you start repeating, I'm out. we don't have time in this world.
I fucking hate when people do that. Yeah, I hate that. No, because
I work at Amazon. I'm like, oh, cool. What's your name? Blah, 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 blah. No, because I work at Amazon. I'm like,
We're done. Yeah.
But I've been around, like, I mean, this is 97 to 2017.
That's a good run.
Partying.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Everything.
And you always woke up the next day feeling great while everyone probably felt hungover as fuck.
Yeah, I never understood hungover.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah. It'll ruin your day.
Yeah, and just...
That's why you were able to work.
From the ghettoest, grimiest clubs to the high-end events, you know?
And what was your favorite night DJing?
Oh, you know what? I actually do know, which is a weird one. They had, Tidal, the streaming service. Jay-Z owned it.
Yep. He doesn't own it anymore?
No, he sold it.
Damn. I'm going to unsubscribe.
Why?
I thought I was supporting the Carters.
Oh, he's giving you a hand signal.
Okay, yeah. 5 minutes.
Oh, fuck. We got to go?
Not now. We're just wrapping up. Yeah. We got five minutes. Yeah. Okay. 100%.
I feel like I didn't talk about sex enough. Are you guys going to be mad?
What are you talking about? This was a very, very interesting
episode.
You have
a perspective and experience that we don't get to talk to often.
Do you see how ladies, not you, I'm talking about the ladies. Ladies. You see how when I talk for a while, I'm interesting and almost maybe a catch? Mm-hmm. Let me get to that point before you shut me down.
Is this a therapy session? What happened?
No, yelling honestly, at Sabrina?
We what talk about sex so much. I think like the stories that you just told are so much interesting than like any sex story. This is so much more interesting to me.
And sexuality is a big part of the scene you came up in. And that's why I like to know. How did you handle it? How did other people handle it? It's so fascinating.
I love your sex stories, guys.
Your favorite DJ night.
So it's Tidal. They were doing Tidal concerts. And it was at the Barclay Center.
Mm.
And it was like each act, it was like 20, 30 acts.
Jesus.
They would all do just two or three songs.
Wow.
And it was supposed to be like...
That's fun.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like your titles on shuffle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, like, yeah. That's cool. That's a cool...
Usher was there. Oh. And then there was this country artist at the time, young. I forget who it was. But he killed it. But I will say this. It was weird in the night. It didn't have a cohesiveness.
Okay.
Because it was so broken up.
Yeah.
So anyway, I DJed in the beginning, and I mean, not a soul was in the building. Not a soul. I DJed from like 7 to 7:30. I think doors opened at 7:45. It was no point in me DJing. So I was just pissed off, and I was just watching the show, hanging out. And then someone comes up to me, and they're like, yo, something, blah, 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 something, Beyonce, blah, blah, wardrobe, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? And they're like, good, you got to stall. You got to stall. So like, what? So you got to go on stage. So I was like, oh, okay. So I grab my bag. I run to the stage. They're like, no, not that stage. The other stage. There was a stage in the middle of the floor of the arena.
Yeah.
And it's just like a DJ set. So I think they were using that. They would have like a rapper perform there while a bigger artist was getting ready on the main stage that had more like special effects.
Yeah.
But this was just like a rapper and a DJ. Yeah. So simple. So they're like, go on that stage. So I go on it, and then I set up, and the stage starts rising up.
Yo.
It didn't rise all night. It didn't rise all night.
It didn't rise all night.
I've seen a couple concerts there. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The shit rises up like 15 feet.
Oh, shit.
And I fucking put it down.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of the, and it was only like a 10-minute set.
But it was a fucking good one.
I went crazy.
And everyone went nuts.
And they went nuts. And also, they went nuts because I did a good job, but also that night was so weird.
Yeah.
And I finally brought it all like personal.
Yeah.
And this was like 2015. So I was like already in stand-up.
Right.
So like I was known to like be the funny guy while DJing. So I'm like cracking jokes.
Oh, nice.
They're going crazy.
Wow.
So then I comes back down and I'm high. I'm like, yeah. Oh, that was so amazing. That was crazy. I'm on the big screen. And then someone grabs me and they're like, Jay wants to talk to you backstage right now. And I was like, uh-oh. One time I did when the Barclays Center opened, I opened up for Jay-Z. And I said, I'm shouting out everybody in the audience, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Jamaicans. And I said, and there was literally Hasidic Jews behind me.
Yo, really?
Right okay, behind
Hasidic
me.
Hasidic Jews? Get your hip-hop
on. So I'm like,
on.
Oh, shout out to the Jews, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So he pulls me aside. He goes, yo, what was that shit you said about the Jews? I was like, no. There was Hasidic Jews right behind me. And plus, Rosenberg, my co-host on the radio, he was with me. He's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what you said. Da-da-da. So this time at the Tidal concert, I'm like, he's like, Jay wants to talk to you right now. And I'm like, did I say something about Jews? Like, I made sure I didn't say that. And then he drags me backstage. And then I'm like, my high is going away.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Am I in trouble?
Yeah. By Jay-Z.
He grabs me. He's like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, what? He goes, I never seen you. Because I used to work for him. But I'm a mellow guy.
Right.
I'm a mellow guy. But when I get on the turntable.
In your element. You were in your element. You were in a trance.
It's
you were
a
in
different
the,
zone.
Yeah.
So he's like, I never saw you do that. That's crazy. He's like, oh, whoa. How did you? I was like, in my mind, I was like, this is what I always do. You
right.
just never seen me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You see me at work.
Yeah.
Because I'm like an A&R. We're in meetings
right.
together.
It's a different vibe. Totally different vibe.
Bro, it was that
wow.
moment.
Wow.
Like to have the validation right
home
in the spot.
Oh my God.
That's so cool.
That's
man,
real
cool.
fucking cool.
And then so we're talking and then Beyonce goes on stage. Beyonce's performing. And then he listens. He goes, oh, I gotta go. And he just walks off casually and then goes on stage and starts performing. Like just breezes on.
Yeah, it's just another day being Jay-Z.
Damn. That's a cool story.
But I don't like to. Is that I'm not name dropping.
No, I want to know.
Just telling
you my
life.
This is. I mean, I'm.
You worked with a lot of celebrities. It
she's my number
it's
one.
It's not name dropping.
Oh,
I got
Beyonce
tattoo. I got a Beyonce. Like
you
all my
meet
work. All my workout gear is Ivy Park. I can't meet her. I'd have a seizure. I admire her so much that I would be not.
No,
cool.
you'd be fine. You're a talker.
I'd black out. That
nah,
she
you gotta
is.
Meet her.
She is the only person in pop culture that I love.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm no,
big. I got artwork, Beyonce artwork in my house.
Let's set it up. Let's figure it out.
I know what pizza place she goes to in Brooklyn. Like, fucking, I don't go there, but like, you know, I went to Beyonce's childhood home. Corinne actually helped me find it in Houston, Texas.
What?
Yeah, I'm a huge Beyonce
fan. We just sat outside. We didn't like knock on the door.
Yeah, I cried though. I was like, this is where she grew up and had her childhood with Solange and Miss Tina. Fucking love Beyonce so much. Where
That's
can
great.
We find you? Where can we hear more of you? What podcast? What can you grace us with?
I
what,
always
your
mean to say this in the beginning. I always forget. It's always at the end.
Yeah.
The Juan Epp is Life podcast. Me and my friend Rosenberg were literally the first people to ever do a hip hop podcast. And now all these other hip hop podcasts are rich.
We know how you feel. Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Yep.
It is crazy.
Yeah. People just take your idea and then make more money.
So
yeah.
Anyway, Juan Epp is Life. We relaunched it. We're having a great time with that. That's some hip hop nerd shit. Then I have a comedy podcast with my friend Will Sylvans called Talk Clearlier. It's basically two comics that butcher the English language.
Yeah.
Will much more than me.
Yes, Will.
But it's very funny. And then I would appreciate a follow at Cypher Sounds. It's hard to remember. CIPHA.
Yeah.
Cypher Sounds on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
Because I've been posting a lot of comedy lately.
Good, good.
And when I tell you, I don't know why I was slacking for years, because now finally all my hip hop fans are like, oh, let's go to... I kind of just left them behind in a way. And now I did this whole other career and I was like, oh, I had a whole fan base.
Yeah.
So now I'm like
finally bringing
them with me.
Nice.
So that's good.
Awesome. Awesome.
Man, thank you.
Thank you so much, Cypher. It was great.
Thanks for having me.
A wonderful episode. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares? Super bad.
fall. Bikinis in June. No matter my size, I'll be perfect for you. I'll be your next door neighbor, waving you from afar. Pointing upward, showing you the stars. The smile in your mirror, the calm in your monsoon. Constantly telling you that I got you. I rock the shiniest jewelry, the sweetest. I'll be your guitar, and you can show me all my most precious parts. I'll be your bad, bad.